how many of you were thinking that it might be a little bit ahead of time to be singing a harvest song at a time when we haven't even planted seeds in our garden yet. But why do you plant seeds in your garden? You plant them by faith that the Lord is going to bring you a harvest in the fall. And so in many ways, we do look forward to our harvest, but I was thinking in selecting that hymn, especially about the application there, the spiritual application in that hymn, and not the first verse so much as the remaining verses about the Lord's blessing and calling in a harvest of souls, which is really our great desire as we serve the Lord here. So with that in mind, please turn with me to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. And we want to read here, and especially notice in the last few verses of this chapter, the last three verses, about not only a sowing but also a harvest, and ingathering. And let us, by way of review also, and we trust a blessing and the reminder of things that we have considered earlier, we will read the entire chapter of Hosea 2, and let us hear the word of the Lord. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhama. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day when she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, These are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Baalim, wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgat me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, my husband, and shalt call me no more Bali, my Lord. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever, Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God. And let us look unto the Lord in prayer. O gracious God, we are in need of Thy tender mercies. We ask of Thee that Thou wouldst attend to those things which are needful. Thou dost know our needs as a congregation, our needs as individuals. And Thou hast declared that we need Thee above all things. We pray that we may have Christ in possession, that we may have the gospel in our hearts, that we may know Thy might to overcome our foolishness, that Thou wouldst deliver us from sin and grant unto us repentance, that we may be yielded unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that Thou wouldst undertake for the preaching of Thy word, that it may build up Thy church and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse our hearts by the blood of Jesus, that we may receive Thy truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The blessings of the gospel are really seen in so many ways when the Lord persistently says, I will, I will. One of the commentators that I was consulting, Mr. Veltkamp, mentioned that when it comes to the marriage ceremony, the Lord doesn't say, let's get married, does He? He said, well, how about if we get married? He says, I will betroth thee unto me. I am going to take you for my wife. And that is the blessing of just reading the scriptures and receiving the resolved purpose of God to do according to His will and always to do graciously to His people. Do you bless the name of the Lord today that He has moved against your will and drawn you and allured you to the desert to speak peaceably to you? Is that the blessing of the gospel that your soul knows today? To know that I was defiant of God, I was not interested in the gospel of God's grace, I wanted to say what I could do and what I wanted to be known for, what I had contributed and what I had done, but God has done it all and He has made me to realize that that's exactly the essence of the gospel, that His will has superseded mine, so to speak. And He has made me to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the hope of my salvation, that His blood is the need of my soul for the atonement of my sins. That is essential to the believing of the gospel. That's really essential to be called a true Christian, a Christ one, that we may know that we are no longer our own. Do you still hang on to yourself? Are you still saying, well, I kind of belong to myself. I kind of cooperate with God, and me and God make a great team. Or are you the servant of the Most High God? Have you died? Are you dying to yourself? to say, there is no life, there is no usefulness within me. There is only usefulness in the life of Christ, in the life that God gives me, in the new life, the new creature that Christ makes me. Without that, there is no life. There is walking around as a zombie, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit believing the gospel and acting upon that belief that sets the Lord's people aside in the world. So the Lord says, I'm going to make you mine. I'm going to possess you. And He says these great words of judgment to all who rebel against the gospel as a word of warning. He speaks, we have seen, he speaks against the church at large. Even people who are called by His name. And He says, if you are not walking in faith, you have no right to my name. You have no right to my ceremonies. You have no right to my worship. You have no right to any of those things. As long as you are serving yourself, or as long as you think that you can somehow divide the worship between me and Baal, between me and your idols. And you can somehow walk hand in hand with these two diametrically opposed things. It cannot be. So there's a great warning for Israel as a nation that has persistently over decades and centuries rebelled against the Lord and persisted in going their own way. But the Lord says, I always have a remnant. And so Hosea goes to preach the gospel, to proclaim God's grace for those that have a hearing ear. Those who are able or willing, whose ears the Lord has opened, to hear something and respond to say, I haven't lived the way that I ought to live, and I'm not worthy to hear the words of God's grace and His mercy and His forgiveness, but I am hearing them now. I am hearing them now. My life is filled with rebellion. It is filled with the inability to obey God's law. And God reveals that to me, but I am hearing also the word of God's grace. So all that word of condemnation that is just against the sins of the world, the sins of every human being, those are all justly proclaimed. But the Lord says also, I have people who hear the message of my grace that my messengers, my gospel prophets always proclaim. They tell you that you're doing wrong, but they proclaim mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what makes them prophets. That's what makes them my messengers and my servants. Is that they hold out for every listening ear the grace of God, the mercy of God. For everyone else, there's only judgment. You can try to turn it around and make it sound pleasant, but there's no pleasantness unless it is in a submission to the Lord, a yielding to Him, an acknowledgement of His truth, and a confession that you have purchased me for your own, and that I no longer belong to myself. I'm not my own. I'm yielded. I belong to Jesus Christ, and oh, the price that He's paid for this. For this rebellious soul, He gave the life of His own Son, that I should hear this message and that I should receive it. It came at a great price, a very, very expensive price. I don't like to use that word expensive, but it's a huge price that has been paid for my salvation. So the Lord says, I'm going to betroth you. I've cast off Israel as a whole, but I know that I have my remnant. I have my people, and I'm going to betroth you unto me. I'm going to make you my own. In verse 21, He says, it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. Now, what is God hearing? He's hearing the prayers of His people. That's part of when we talk about God hearing. He doesn't have an ear. He doesn't have auditory canals. He doesn't have a physical ear, but what He hears is the prayers of His people. And here He says, I am going to hear. Maybe it sounds as though I've never heard your prayers before. Maybe you feel that you've been so long in praying for this or that thing that I don't hear anymore. Or maybe that I've never heard you. That it doesn't matter to me. That I don't care. But there comes a point here where the Lord says, I will hear. It's a promise. I will hear. And I'm going to start to make things to connect and to come together. And see how he does this in respect to, by way of illustration really, with respect to the ground and the planting and the way in which we get our harvest. He says, it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. So we can say, maybe by way of personification, the farmer says, I want to plant corn. I'm going to put this seed into the ground. And the seed says, well, that's fine, but I need to be in the earth. And the earth says, well, that's fine, but I need water and sunshine. And the heavens say, we can send the rain and the sunshine, but they come from the Lord. We can't do that of our own selves. And so here the Lord's saying, okay, the seed's been planted, it needs the earth. The earth needs the water needs the command of the Lord to send that rain forth. And the Lord says, I am going to do that. I am going to send forth that needed rain that's going to moisten the earth, that's going to germinate the seeds, going to bring it to bear fruit. I am going to do that for you. Even though it seems as though I haven't been doing it for a long time. But the promise is that the Lord hears the prayer of faith. And beloved, didn't the Lord Jesus promise to give you whatever you asked in His name? Whatever you request for Jesus' sake. So your requests, your prayers are brought to the Lord for Jesus' sake. Are you willing to wait for that answer to your prayer for Jesus' sake? That's not what I need to do, the Lord may be saying, in my economy, in my plan, to give you that thing right now. And He may be saying, I'm not going to give it to you at all. And we just don't know. We don't know what He's going to give or what He's going to withhold. But we do know that He knows what's best. We also know that He places burdens on our hearts. Gospel burdens. Farmer has no right really to go out and just plant his seed and say, I want to feed my family and a few of my friends, and hopefully they'll all be grateful to me for that. And in spite of that, the Lord blesses many ungodly farmers with bountiful crops. But the farmer and you, if you have your gardens, every seed ought to go down prayerfully and say, Lord, bless this to productivity. I want your hand to bring fold a multitude. I want to plant one potato and I want to reap a dozen. For your sake. Not just so that I can tell everybody what a great farmer I am. You know, look at me. Boy, we've really got a great garden, a great crop. But to say the Lord has blessed my garden. And those are the mundane things of life, which we all need. We all need food. But how much more important is the need of your soul? And here was Israel. And the Lord gave them all kinds of things, and they had no idea. Well, they had an idea, but they just wouldn't be thankful. What if, consider what would happen if you had been a few days without food, and somebody came along and knocked on your door and and had a basket on his arm, and he drew back the covering on the basket, and there were 3 loaves of bread and some tins of food, and your eyes would get big as he handed it to you. And you'd say, this is just what I need. And you'd feed and eat that bread because it's just exactly what you need. But it's enough for the day. So he comes back the next day. And he lifts back the cover on the basket, and there's another 3 loaves of bread for you and for your family. And then you begin to look at the basket and say, that's a beautiful basket. That's a gorgeous basket. And you begin to thank the basket. Thank you for appearing on my doorstep and providing this food for me and for my family. And then the third day it goes on again, and the fifth day and the sixth day, and it keeps going. And every day the basket is thanked. And isn't that what Israel was doing? They're thanking the basket. They didn't know that the Lord had given them all these things. And they said, well, you know, we're going to lay them all out in front of our idols, and then we're going to thank our idols. Even though we know the Lord sent the rain, we know the Lord prospered us more abundantly than we could ask for or think. We asked for simple things. He gave us great things, and then we offered them to our Baals. And we have to be very, very conscious of the Lord's provision all the time, and especially for the provision for the need of your soul. Has He given you such riches for your soul that your tongue can scarcely describe how good God has been to you in Jesus Christ? You know what that takes? You remember that Jesus talked a lot about sowers and seeds. He talked about scattering the seed and the Lord giving the increase. But he also talked about the seed that had to go into the ground and had to die before it could bring forth fruit, before it could produce anything positive. And that is the way, that is the Christian life, dying to self, dead to self, and alive to Jesus Christ. That's what Paul, that's what the scriptures say continually. The Lord Jesus, Paul, Peter, John, everybody talks about this dying to self and living to Christ, being a new creature. The old things are passed away. And so here is the newness of the gospel life, the newness of the Christian life, that God gives new desires and makes old things pass and fade away. And so the earth is going to hear the corn and the wine and the oil. The productivity is going to come, and they shall hear Jezreel. Jezreel. Does that name sound familiar to you? Do you remember several weeks ago, we were talking about Jezreel in the first chapter of Hosea. That was a name, one of the names of Hosea's children. The third son was Jezreel. And what did that mean? It meant seed or sowing, or remember we said scattering, where the Lord says, I'm going to take you because you're so persistent in going your own way, and I'm going to scatter you throughout all the world. Which is what largely has happened with a Jewish nation. Peter talks about the scattered church, those who are all over Asia Minor. And Peter also says now that there's going to be a gathering in, because this word Jezreel also means to be sown, not just scattered in judgment, but sown for a seed. And now I'm going to use that word Jezreel, he says, for you in a good way. I'm going to sow you for the good of the gospel. I'm going to plant you as a seed for the good of the gospel. And Paul says in Romans chapter 9 that this is one of the fruits of the gospel, the ingathering, not only of the Jews that have been scattered abroad, but included in that scattering or the ingathering is the Gentiles also that are brought in, according to God's sovereign purposes. We don't know why, we don't know how, we can't explain any of the reasoning behind it in human logic, but we can know the promise that Those scattered ones, many of them are going to be brought in. Our remnant, you see how Paul tied that in with the bringing in again of Hosea and the remnant of Isaiah, that these are connected. These are together. The Lord has His remnant. It's a remnant that hears the gospel word when it goes forth in the power and might of the Holy Spirit. And beloved, if you hear the gospel today and you feel scattered, you feel as though the Lord has cast you off and has forgotten you in your need, and you may be discouraged and may be saying, has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? I just need mercy. I just need the Lord to remember me, but He seems so far away. He seems so far removed. And I need the Lord to make His grace manifest to me. And this is the word of the Lord then, is that I am gracious. It's not how you feel. You may feel scattered. You may feel scatterbrained sometimes, or scatter-souled, where your soul feels disconnected and not right. But the Lord sends the preachers, the ministry of the Word, the Gospel, to refresh your soul and to say, this is not really how it is. It may be how I feel, but it is not how it is, because God is gracious and merciful. The judgment part is right. The judgment part is true. I need to repent. There are so many wicked thoughts in my mind. There are so many things that Satan comes and brings forward into my mind at the most ridiculous and inconvenient times. And it can be frustrating. I had that happen this morning. I probably shouldn't have been checking my email to begin with, but you get one of these messages that just turns you upside down and vexes your soul, and you say, I just don't need this on the Lord's day. But the Lord says, the gospel is a gospel of grace. I will determine what you will get and what you won't get on a particular day, and I'm going to use it for good. And I want you to remember that I am a God of grace. And that is what the Lord's people hear. They hear Jezreel. I am sowing for good. I am planting for good. And verse 23, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Is anything more precious than for someone who is cast off to be received? Somebody who's been rejected to be accepted. And that's one of the great phrases that Paul talks about, being accepted in the Beloved. God, a holy God, accepts His people in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ. You are His possession. You are Christ's, and Christ is God's. We turn over to the problems they had in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And they had all these divisions and all of these schisms, even followers of godly men, but there was nothing according to what their focus ought to be on the gospel. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:21, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So you see the chain there. It's a similar chain to what he was saying about the other blessings of your garden and of your fields. If you are Christ and you remember that Christ is God's, it puts everything into this perspective where we know that God is gracious. We know that God is merciful. The Bible tells you so. And that's where you go when you're not feeling the grace of God, when you're not understanding of His love, when you feel His judgment. Sometimes you just need to repent and know that I've got guilt feelings because I'm living in sin and going on in sin. I'm not to go on this way. Lord, give me repentance and deliverance. But receive me mercifully. Forgive me forgive me my sin. I know that your forgiveness is bountiful. Remember, if you were here last week, remember that great wide waterfall on the cover of last week's bulletin. It just flows and flows and flows. To be in the way of God's grace and mercy is a wonderful thing when you know your sinfulness. When you know that all God's judgments are right and true and that you're deserving of His judgments, as we read through that second chapter, and then to receive His mercy when you expect His judgment is such an inestimable value of the gospel. And it's what the Lord's people need. And you need to hear, the Lord is gracious. When you hear the Lord's judgments are true, when you feel them and know them to be true, remember that the ear of faith says, my God is gracious. My God will receive me. He will hear me when I pray to Him in the hour of my need. Let us pray. Oh Lord, our ears are dull of hearing. We pray that they may be opened by the Holy Spirit, that we may hear that You are gracious, and that we may know that You hear our prayer. Oh Lord, forgive the stubbornness and the persistent foolishness of our own hearts to raise our voices above the voice of Your truth, the voice of Your Spirit, and the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, be merciful unto us. We ask that Thou hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and Your only begotten Son. Amen.